Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here in the seventh commandment, Luther says we move on now after our spouse, which is the most important relationship in our life, we go on to our neighbor. And we begin to focus on our neighbor. And we begin to focus on the fact that we want to not steal from our neighbor, but we want to build our neighbor up and uphold them. Now, we've talked about this before. Who is our neighbor? Very good job. That's the end of the sermon. You passed. We're done. Good, good, good. It's interesting that God talks about this commandment about not stealing, because what's really interesting is that God wants to be generous. He wants us to have blessed things in our life. He wants us to enjoy the things that he's given us. He wants us to be able to protect them and use them for his glory and for the benefit of others around us. So this is why God gives us this commandment about stealing. Because the law is written on our hearts, we know that stealing is wrong. What's interesting to me is that you can go to an atheist, you can go to a Muslim, you can go to a Buddhist, you can go to just about any person of another religion and or non-religion, in the case of atheist, agnostic, right? And ask them if stealing is wrong, and what will they say? Because the law is written on everybody's heart. God says that, right? This is how we know it's true, that it's written on everybody's heart. So the law is written on everybody's heart. So we all know that getting things in a dishonest or deceitful way is wrong, right? Whether we're manipulating somebody out of it or whatever that may be, we know that it's wrong. We all know that robbing is wrong, right? Okay? So many of you, most of you probably have never robbed a bank. That's a good thing. If you have, talk to me afterwards. Because you got to tithe that robbing. Here's a big one I think of all the time. Have you ever been to the grocery store and they give you back too much change? What do you do with that change? You give it back, right? Because if we keep it, it's stealing. Or better yet, you go to a restaurant and you notice you had a coffee or two coffees and you're looking through the receipt at the bill at the end and they didn't charge you for the coffees. What do you do? You tell them, right? Instead of walking out the door and saying, boy, I got free coffee today. You know, another common way people steal is at work. We take too long on our breaks. You know, we get a 15-minute break, and maybe we'll take 16 minutes or 17 minutes. Another common one that happens, and I think we're all guilty of this, is, oh, I'm sick today. I can't come into work. Our sick days that we take, right? We're stealing from our bosses. We're stealing from our workplaces. And so these things creep into our lives, and we don't want to think about it, and we don't want to realize it, but it's true. I remember in school so many times telling the teachers that the dog ate my homework or something like that, right? When in actuality, I just hadn't done the homework because I didn't really care. You know how it goes, right? It's so easy to do. So I don't have to preach about this anymore because you get it. I'm preaching to the choir. You understand that stealing is wrong. Most of you in here have been through confirmation. Some of you in here have been through the Ten Commandments three times already, I know, this year. And you've reminded me of that already. So I don't have to tell you, you get it. Generosity stands in direct opposition to a life of stealing. Generosity stands in direct opposition to a life of stealing. I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking, how in the world am I going to preach to the choir? How am I going to preach to people who are in church on Sunday, and they never robbed a bank, I'm assuming, never held up whatever, never stole whatever, whatever, right? On and on and on. How am I going to preach this? And I suddenly realized that as I was reading Luther on this, and reading what Scripture had to say, and looking at the lessons for today, the interesting thing about stealing is, what stands in direct opposition to that is generosity. And unless we're living a life of generosity, we're stealing. We're stealing from our neighbors, we're stealing from ourselves, and we're stealing from God. Because God calls us to live a life of generosity. After all, God is generous. And if you look at each one of our lessons, even the Old Testament lesson, the Epistle lesson, and of course the Gospel lesson today, they all show abundant generosity, not only commanding us to be generous, but generosity of God to his people. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. I am a God of generosity. I love to give to you. So let's take a look at generosity and let's take a deeper look at what it means to live this life. serving and helping the homeless. That's a real problem in our society today, you know, especially around here. And how about this one, serving and helping the refugee? That's a big one too, isn't it? Generosity in the Bible was described as opening up your gates to those who are homeless and those who are refugees. That's part of being a generous person and living a generous life. Helping our neighbor just to get to know them. You know, your neighbor outside and they're maybe plucking some weeds or working on something and going over and saying hi and offering to help and maybe offering them a drink of water or, hey, you want to take a break, make and get a beer, drink a beer with me or whatever that may be. Part of that is being generous and sharing our spirit, being generous and sharing our love, being generous and sharing our compassion, being generous and sharing our caring, getting to know our neighbor and letting them see Jesus in us. This is crucial. As a matter of fact, Luther says that part of the explanation of this commandment is helping our neighbor keep their items and keep their items in good shape, right? So this is part of being generous. Loving your child or your friend or your coworker who happens to be gay or who've had an abortion or doesn't believe in Jesus or so on and so on and so on. This is part of living a life of generosity. Just recently, I heard a story, and it's a true story, and it really had an impact on me, and I thought, man, this is generosity at its core. I wanted to share this story with you. There was a person who had a big tree in their yard, and the storm came, and the tree fell down, and it was there, and it needed to be cut up, and so the tree had done, I guess, some damage to the house, and there were some issues there, and the insurance gave money, $400 to the person, to take care of the tree and to take care of the damage from the tree. But the person had a neighbor next door, and the neighbor decided to help cut up that tree and help get that tree taken away. And so the neighbor came and helped and served and loved this person. And so what do you think that person did with the $400 they got from the insurance company to take care of that tree? They gave it to the neighbor because the neighbor took time to care and love. Do you understand that? Do you see the generosity there? Do you see how Christ is working in that situation? And I dare have to say this, giving back to God a portion of our treasures. You know I don't preach on tithing too much, but that's generosity, isn't it? God wants us to tithe. He does. I mean, it's part of our life of discipleship. Let me back up for a minute. Generosity is part of our life of discipleship, right? If we are to be a disciple of Christ, being a disciple means learning from your teacher and emulating that teacher. If we're to be a disciple of Christ, that means we are to be generous. Would you agree? I mean, Jesus was generous, was he not? So he calls us to be generous. So part of that life of discipleship is generosity, and part of that generosity is giving to God. And God wants a tithe from us. And sometimes we can't afford to tithe, but working up to that tithe is the way to do it. And it's not because the church demands your money. It's not because we need your money. It's not because we want your money. It's because God says, give to me. Because the money that we tithe isn't ours. It's God's money so that God can continue the generosity of Christ Lutheran Church in this community, in reaching the lost, in helping the homeless, in serving the refugee, and helping those who don't know Christ. Do you see how that works? You see, as you are called to be disciples, so Christ Lutheran Church is called to discipleship as well. And together we can do more than we can individually, can't we not? Because we're the body of Christ. So yes, tithing, giving to God, is part of living a life of generosity. And of course, sharing Jesus is part of a life of generosity. Would you agree? It's like the woman who found the coin, and she had to call all her neighbors, remember, and say, come, rejoice with me, I found my coin. Or the lost sheep, come, rejoice for me, I have my sheep. Or on the counter, the man who finds a treasure, and what does he do? He buries it in the field and shares it with no one. That's not generosity. You see, the lady who found the coin, the guy who found the lost sheep, that's finding Jesus. It's finding the greatest treasure in the world. It's finding the greatest treasure in all of the universe. It's finding the most beautiful thing that nobody else in the world can even bear to understand if they don't know Jesus. And it's sharing him with our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. Even in school, somebody said to me the other day as a student, oh, we'll get in trouble if we share Jesus. And I said, you do that, you let me know, because you have the constitutional right in school as a student to share your faith. They can't take that away from you. That's the reality. Being the presence of Jesus to the world around us is generosity. Because the greatest treasure that you and I have, would you agree it's Jesus? Would you agree? Let me hear amen. Amen. Right. That's the greatest treasure we have. And sharing Jesus is the greatest gift of generosity that we can give. We combat Satan in this commandment when we live a life of sacrificial giving. Do you hear that? We combat Satan in this commandment when we choose to live a life of sacrificial giving, a life that says, I'm going to give because I was given to. There is no greater generosity in this world than that of our God giving us his heart completely. There is no greater generosity in this world than that of our God giving us his heart completely. He has given us his heart. His heart is his son. In love, he gave us his son. In love, he said to you and to me, here is my son, Jesus Christ. And here is my son, Jesus Christ, and he will die for you. He will die for your sins so that they'll be removed as far as the east is from the west. He will die for your sins so that you may live. He will rise from the dead so that you may have eternal life. The generosity of God is giving us his heart, his only son, our Savior, the most generous gift. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it because we still fail at every one of these commandments. We can sit back and say, I don't steal, I don't rob, but the reality is we fail because we aren't being generous as God has called us to be generous. And even yet, into our lives, God sends Jesus Christ to forgive, to restore, to heal, to mend, to love, to forgive, and then gives us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can continue to live a life of generosity, so that we can continue to live a life that follows the Ten Commandments. This is a God who has given us his heart, the complete gift of salvation for you and for me, so that we may live in this world rejoicing with hope in knowing that no matter what happens here, we have eternal life in heaven. And nothing can take that away. Nothing. No hardship, no trial, no trouble, no tribulation, no failure, no sin, nothing can take that away because it has been sealed and delivered to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, I hope you heard the gospel right there. I hope you did. Because you need to know that you are loved with an overwhelming love that this world cannot give to you. A love that will never change, a love that will never go away. And my hope is that you leap out of here today with joy, with happiness, and with generosity. I know some of you came in with burdens and worries and doubts. I know there were things that happened even this morning where some people said, you know, I'm having a bad day today. Live. Jesus loves you. That's all that matters. Leap out of here. Be generous. Show people Jesus. And everything else will fade away. Because that's the reality of what it means to be Christian. In the name of Jesus, amen.